Eric is the best. He does it all. Now, following Mark, Grant Kirkwood is the founder of Unitas Global. He founded Unitas because he saw a need for managed end-to-end information technology outsourcing solutions that rely heavily on IT infrastructure but don't want to focus on it as a core function of their business. The company's mission is to deliver high-performance, highly available IT infrastructure as a single comprehensive service. Grant brings 15 years of senior management and entrepreneurial experience in technology companies to Unitas Global. Prior to founding Unitas Global, Grant served as CTO at Packet Exchange, a global network service provider headquartered in London with operations throughout North America, Europe, and Asia. As CTO of Packet Exchange, Grant oversaw all aspects of its technology vision and operations, driving towards the successful execution of the company's business objectives and customer commitment. He remained with Packet Exchange until its acquisition by Global Telecom and Technology. In 2002, Grant founded Zima Networks, serving as its president and CTO. Created to serve the unique needs of media, entertainment, and online content providers, Zima built a reputation as a performance leader in internet bandwidth solutions. Please warmly welcome Grant Kirkwood to Cloud Computing West.
Terrific introductions. Very flattered. Good morning. Yes, I'm the CEO of Unitas Global. We are a worldwide provider of private cloud services, primarily to Fortune 500, state and federal governments. So large organizations making the leap into cloud. So I'm going to stay fairly focused on the media and entertainment space, because that's why we're here. I could go in a lot of other places. I start every presentation that I give about this with a discussion about what cloud actually means, because there are lots of definitions. You know, and having heard my background, I come from telecom, and I was telling Mark before this, I go to these telecom conferences and I see carriers selling circuits, but they're not circuits, they're cloud circuits now, which is amusing. So I start with this conversation about what is cloud. If you haven't seen the 5-3-2 principle, throw it in Google, take a look. But the gist of it is that there's five key characteristics of cloud computing. There are three what I like to call flavors, and then two delivery models. And so you saw in the previous presentation a little bit about those types of flavors and delivery models. Our business is very focused on infrastructure as a service and platform as a service delivered in a private way. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about is really centered around that. So first I'm going to tell you a story. About 3 years ago, we had our first media entertainment client come to us, and they came to us because they blew up a transformer. They were a visual effects company. They did the kind of 3D animation for all the movies that I don't get time to see. But they have a studio full of animators, and they'd make these kind of wireframe models of robots or whatever. They'd build these models on their workstations, then send them out to computers to put the skins and the lighting and all the trees and all the backdrop in. It's very computationally intensive. So, like a lot of studios, they made the transition from non-digital to quasi-digital to fully digital. And so they had these sound stages that they weren't using anymore. And these were big, giant rooms with 40-foot high ceilings. And so when they would need to render out a film, they would bring in a truckload of servers and they'd stack them up 40 feet high in the sound stage. Hope that there wasn't an earthquake. And then they would open the roof tiles up to let the hot air out. And that was how they rendered their first films. About a year into this, as the workload kept increasing, what happened was they blew up a transformer. They went one server too many. They came to us in a panic and said, we've got to get this film out. The release date's in a month. What do we do? And so we put fiber out to their studio, ran them into a private cloud environment in our facility, and they were able to render the film there and get it out in time. That is not the way to adopt cloud. That was a moment of sheer desperation and panic. So I'm here to talk a little bit about how to select a cloud vendor as it relates to media entertainment, but I think it really applies to pretty much any industry. So the first and most important question that has to be asked is, what problem are we trying to solve? I think, you know, to kind of echo the previous comments, we hear lots of companies that say, "Oh, we got to do the cloud thing. Our CEO told us we have to go get a cloud, or three clouds, or whatever." Okay, why? What problem are you trying to solve for? Are you trying to save money? Are you trying to improve agility and efficiency? Are you trying to optimize business processes? What's the reason that you're trying to adopt cloud? And it's crazy, because I'd say 70% of the time, the answer we get is, "Well, the board said we have to." And I say, "Okay, that's great. Let's talk again next year." But I think it's really important, because if you do not define what problem you're trying to solve for at the outset of a cloud project, you're going to be lost, and you know, there's not going to be a real clear direction or objectives. The second, and I think follow on, but equally important question is, what's motivating that change? You know, I loved the stairs with the piano key. That was really cool. And there are lots of reasons that people are motivated to make a change towards cloud. But again, if it's well, because the board tells us to, because they think it's going to solve all our problems, that's not the right answer. You know, we hear lots of reasons. But until a company recognizes that it's the optimization of their business and how the business functions, again, they're going to be lost. So think about that 5-3-2 model. You've got SaaS, PaaS, IaaS, private, public. I would argue it's 5-3-3, because you could say hybrid is a model unto itself. But there's a lot of choices, right? So you can do it on-prem, you can do it off-prem, you can outsource it to a provider, you can outsource it to multiple providers. There are providers now that give you the ability to outsource it to others. There's multiple levels of you know, public cloud and private cloud orchestration. It gets pretty complex. But to the point, we need choices, because what's right for somebody is not necessarily right for somebody else. There is no best cloud provider. There's no best cloud technology or solution. All these different options have advantages and disadvantages. A bus can carry a lot of people, but it's not going to do it quickly. And as you spend time, we'll talk to companies and they'll say, "Well, we looked at these guys and these guys and these guys and these guys, and these ones are good here and these ones are good here," and all of a sudden you get lost in this huge matrix of options and choices and providers. Those are all good, and like I said, they all have advantages and disadvantages, but you end up with a lot of choices. And before long, you end up with a lot of choices that look pretty similar, but have specific nuances to each of them. And if you start looking at, all right, I've got 20 different providers, 20 different vendors, and each of those I've now classified out 20 different options, all of a sudden I end up with an awful lot of permutations. So how do we make sense of this? The first thing that we do with our customers is we actually sit down, and by asking the first two questions, what's problem are we trying to solve for, and what are the primary motivations in the business, we can identify what's important to that company. Then what we do is we map out providers, ourselves included, but also other vendors, and we say, okay, here are the features that you might be interested in these different providers. So every workload has different requirements from a technology perspective, right? So the example that I gave with the visual effects studio, they need lots of computational horsepower, just raw compute and tons of it. Didn't really need any storage to speak of. We've got another client who has all of their archived film now in a digital storage. It's all storage. There's almost no compute involved with that. So you have to start kind of mapping out, all right, it's important for us to achieve X, therefore we need these types of resources. And then we look at, okay, how are those resources accessed and what's the easiest way to integrate that in with the existing system? So we start to build a matrix of options and providers. So then we ask, okay, what's preventing cloud adoption in your organization? There was a very interesting PricewaterhouseCoopers survey, and you can throw it in Google, look it up. And they have the results of this survey. It's from last year. And they asked 1,000 CIOs and VPs of IT across the kind of Fortune 1000 landscape a whole bunch of questions about cloud computing. And there's some really interesting things out of that. But there are two factors preventing cloud adoption, an overwhelming majority. The first one is security. And my personal belief is that the security threat can oftentimes be perceived and not real. And I do like the concept of security numbers, because that is absolutely true. Amazon takes a lot of flack when they go down, but that's because it impacts lots of people, and so it gets fixed quickly. But whether it's fair or deserved, there is the perception that cloud computing is insecure. So when we identify that that's a big factor that's preventing adoption, we deliver it in a way that's going to address that. The second is integration with existing systems. And that's a close second from security, and that's a little bit of a surprise. So if you think about the story that I told you, where we had animators sitting in a studio building their robots, how are we going to tie back a cloud service offering into that environment? Going out in a public cloud is a non-starter, right? They couldn't get fast enough network access into that cloud to effectively move that workload off into the space. So we actually had to put dark fiber in. We had to integrate with the same types of load management systems that they already had in a week. So takeaways from this, the key questions, again, to ask, what are we trying to accomplish? What are our motivating factors? What types of resources do we need to power our cloud? And what's holding us back from taking this leap? These are some examples of the types of things that we see frequently in the media entertainment space. So that the example that I gave you with that visual effects house was very compute intensive. They call it rendering, which means taking those models and sticking all of the skins and things on them. But we also see a lot of companies now looking towards cloud to do collaboration. So you've got people shooting film out in the field, and they're sending back the dailies into a cloud service, and now your director isn't sitting out there on the street. He can be managing multiple projects from someplace else. Storage, I gave you the example of storing large amounts of digital files in someplace safer than a building that's going to burn down. Private network and file transfer is also really big in the media entertainment space. Moving multi-terabyte film sheets around still is a very difficult problem. And that's one that cloud computing addresses fairly well. Questions, key questions to ask cloud vendors. I mean, these are conversation starters. But typically, these are some of the things that we throw into that grid format as we start to evaluate vendors with our clients. The deployment model, private, public, hybrid. The delivery method, how do we integrate with it? How do you interface? How do you consume the services? We did a project for a financial services client. They had built out a private cloud. They gave it to all their employees, and then they gave it the same requisition process that they'd always had. So it took 2 months instead of 4 months to spin up resources in the data center, and they found they were spending $1 million a month in Amazon, but it was just going on everybody's expense reports. And if you don't make the cloud service easy to consume, you're going to have people doing the same thing. And how do I integrate and customize? I mean, this is always a big thing. You know, if it's one thing if you're a greenfield company and you have no IT systems, but I don't know any of those companies. Everybody has existing systems and processes, and if you can't integrate with that and make it a comfortable transition into a cloud model, you'll never get the adoption that you want. The 32nd on who Unitas Global is, we've got over 100 data centers around the world that we operate within. We're exclusively a private cloud provider. There is a map there, but you can't really see it. But regardless, so we service primarily Fortune 500 type clients that have deep, complex systems that require high levels of integration and customization. Enterprise Private Cloud is our core product. Every cloud environment that we build for our customers is completely standalone, unique, and bespoke, custom built for that specific client. And I just put up a couple logos of some of the media companies that use our Enterprise Private Cloud solutions. Hopefully they don't mind. And that's it. So I'll take some questions.
Okay, so who's our lead-off question? Oh, of course, in the back. Let me get my exercise.
One thing you did talk
We're recording in this way. Okay. That's why
we want to kind of understand a little bit around, because you didn't talk about like the hypervisor level and the cloud OS level and the aspects of that comes into being able to do that work. If you could address that.
Yeah, sure. Specific to the kind of sample client or just in general?
Well, in general, and just choosing.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this is designed to be really high level, right? I feel like a lot of companies that we talk to start looking at, okay, I got to do cloud. Should I do VMware or OpenStack? You know, what hypervisor should I use? And those, to me, those are the wrong questions, right? If you can say, here's why I'm interested in cloud, here's why I want to adopt cloud, and then doing a technology evaluation of all the different options out there, you're going to find something that meets the requirements of what you're trying to solve for. But most companies don't take this approach. You know, most say, okay, you know, I've done this cloud thing for a while. I've got a bunch of servers running VMware in my you know, wiring closet, right? Or in my data center. So that's cloud, right? Exactly, no. But that company might be most comfortable sticking with VMware, but then building an orchestration layer on the front that makes it easy for their teams to consume resources. That's not the right answer for, you know, the next company who might be a little more progressive and says, hey, you know, I'm kind of done paying VMware. This OpenStack thing looks really interesting. What hypervisors does it support the best? But those things are really driven by what's important to the company and how it operates and what's going to kind of unshackle the adoption process of cloud. So I don't think it's really a technology discussion, which unfortunately, like I said, is usually how it starts.
Do we have any other questions?
Just a quick one. With the work you've done with private cloud, I would think that you've had to crack the nut for bursting or federation between clouds, and if so, do you have a preferred approach or is it bespoke?
It's very bespoke. Again, it depends on what's already there and what's being implemented. But we do have lots of clients who say, "All right, my workload looks something like this, but I know I'm always at least here. Here's my steady state workload." And some clients say, you know, I want to build for this or this and keep it all in-house. I want it totally private. I don't want anybody else even breathe on my infrastructure. But most say, you know, I know that I always need this. Let's build this, make it private ourselves, and then be able to burst that extra workload out into public cloud. I think, you know, long-term, the evolution is very much moving in that direction. It's easy for us, kind of collectively in the technology space, to say, cloud, it's easy, go do it. But the more traditional enterprise that we talk to, the further behind in that process they are. So they're just saying, well, you know, I've got some VMware running over here. I've got a big SAN. That counts as cloud. So for them, you know, hybrid, even just being able to burst into a into public cloud is pretty progressive.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.